Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Carson Lee. Carson, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Hey Josh, I'm glad that you could have me on. I appreciate reaching out to me and wanting me to get on the show. I'm excited to sit here and talk to you.
Awesome. Really excited to hear a little bit more about you and your story. But first, Carson, can you tell the listeners who may not have heard about you or may not be following your pretty entertaining Instagram page exactly kind of who you are and what you're working on right now?
Yeah, man, I appreciate those kind words. But yeah, so my name is Carson Lee. I'm 25 years old, and right now I'm actually playing professional baseball. This season is going to be my third year playing professional baseball. We actually get started here in a few weeks, but so that's kind of about me. I graduated from college. Pretty much been playing baseball my whole life. Once I graduated from college, this was kind of something I wanted to pursue. So, I'm fortunate enough to have the opportunity. And now that, I kind of have that platform of playing professional baseball, I'm trying to use it the best I can. And like you said, through Instagram being one of, my big marketing tools, really trying to use Instagram to not only give back knowledge, but then also branch out and use different social media outlets to not only, build a brand, but still at the same time, continue giving back knowledge and entertain and just have fun, just kind of do as much as possible with the platform that I have. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Awesome. Lots to dive into there. I love it because it is so fun. So for those who haven't followed Carson, and we'll definitely plug that Instagram account. I would say if I had to summarize the theme of your account, it would be fun. Like you're always smiling, pictures with buddies and stuff like that. So really cool. And we'll definitely get into the digital marketing side of things. I want to take a few steps back though, Carson, and maybe start kind of in your high school days or even younger when you started getting really competitive. And the reason why I'm so interested about this stuff is twofold. Number one, is I played baseball competitively throughout my life, actually through university. So I'm super interested. I love the sport, and we probably have a lot that we can relate to in that regard. And I'm interested to hear what your experience was. And then number two, the reason why I'm curious is because I find that competitive sports and entrepreneurship and business have so much in common. So would love to start with the baseball side of things growing up and when you kind of got into the really competitive mode.
I mean, honestly, I would say I got into the competitive mode, even as a young kid, probably I'd say about 8 or 9 years old. I started playing baseball when I was basically as soon as I was born. I mean, right. That's kind of, in the hypothetical sense, but 4 or 5 years old, I started playing baseball. My dad had an organization before I was even born, and he coached, all kinds of guys, a few of them that ended up making it to the major leagues. So he had a good knowledge base of the game. And then I was born and he restarted the baseball organization. Once I kind of started getting into like coach pitch in the first few years of kid pitch, we were already playing super competitive baseball, mainly because we would always play an age up. If we were 8 or 9, we would be playing against 10 and 11 year olds. So we're playing against guys right. that were older against us. And we were always playing against the best teams, either in the state of Texas or in the country. It actually led to us when we were 12 years old, we ended up winning the state championship in Texas, and we wow. went on to be like the number one nationally ranked team. We went and did the summer tournament, the World Series, what they call it. And yeah. We were the number one ranked team going into that. So, wow. the competitiveness really started at a young age. And getting into high school, my high school district, 17-5A is what it was called back then. It's in the Cypress area, which right. is a suburb on the outside of Houston. That was – I've always said, and people within the district have always said, that's one of the best districts in Texas as far as competition and just the guys that come out of there. I look back on my junior year and just the guys that went and played college baseball and professional baseball, like from that class, I mean, you could make an all-star team just out of those right. guys. So, you know, our district was littered with talent. So, you know, like I said, the competitiveness was always there from a young age, but especially getting into high school, you know, every night it was, you were playing the best guys, not only in the city of Houston, but in the state. And then we had 10 teams in our district. So it was 10 teams fighting for four playoff spots, essentially.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of where the competitiveness comes from. But on your jumping to your second question, I do agree that competitive sports and entrepreneurship have a lot in common just because of the things that being on a team and playing sports teach you, like the values they teach you in life. I don't think you can go into any kind of other, I guess I'll use workplace as the word. Right. I don't necessarily mean workplace, but any other workplace and get that same kind of experience, you know, at a young age and growing up, just
that environment
teach you. Yeah, exactly. Just with the atmosphere and learning to have relationships and camaraderie with other people, but then also learning work ethic and hard work, you know, determination, like all those cliche words, but they all come from playing that competitive sport. Because if you're going to be successful, you have to instill those things in yourself.
Right. Yeah. There's so much great stuff in there. I'm so jealous because I remember watching the Little League World Series. It was always from my TV because I grew up in Canada and we just weren't that great, any of our teams. But it always looked like such an amazing experience. Carson, can you talk about the dynamics on some of these? Because these sound like there's a difference between competitive and, like, you know, top of the nation quality. Maybe just slight differences, but can you talk about what it was like being on some of those teams, especially playing in some of those, you know, very intense environments, playoff games, nationally televised games? What was that like for you, especially growing up?
I mean, it's obviously an awesome experience, especially to have that, you know, at a young age. And I think it kind of just molded me for as I got older to, you know, when I had more of those kind of opportunities, you know, in college and now professionally, it's just another game. And the moment never gets too big. Just because I've been kind of doing that my whole life. But I think where that kind of comes from is – when I was younger, I noticed that a lot of the guys I played with kind of had the same, or even against, that they all had the same goals and end destination that they were trying to get to. Whereas, I don't want to put anybody else down. I'm just going for my perception, but it seemed like there were other guys that really were kind of just playing just to play, you know, because their mom and dad wanted them to play. It was something for them to do. Whereas, it seemed like guys I was playing with, guys that we played against, they all had an end goal of either getting to college and playing under a college scholarship or playing professional baseball at some level. So I think when you kind of have that mindset, that's where I think the difference in the competitiveness comes from, because you don't really take a game for granted, but also the intensity of each game is that much higher just because you're that much more focused. You know, the game is that more meaningful to you. You have that passion for the game. So I would say that's kind of where the difference is, I think. I mean, once again, like I said, you're playing against, you know, the most talented guys in the country. So each team was stacked with talent. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't any depth issues as far as, you know, the 10th guy on the team is not very good. You know, everyone on the team was an absolute stud. So I'd say those are really the only two things I could say that really were different. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's still just baseball. So I'd say, you know, just the end goal of the guys I was playing against and then how deep each team's depth chart was that we had played against.
Yeah, that's really great to hear, Carson. And I really like the beginning where you were kind of talking about the environment, because I find, especially when you're playing in those intense competitive environments, it kind of reframes other aspects of life, right? Like all of a sudden,
Getting a B minus instead of the B plus on a test, like, it isn't the end of the world. It kind of puts things in perspective in that sense. Or, you know, even other areas that are semi-related, like public speaking, you might have more confidence in because you've been through all of these other, you know, difficult kind of life obstacles, so to speak. How do you think that those experiences have translated to other aspects of your life or improved other areas that you're now very strong in?
Well, I would definitely agree with what you just said as far as, you know, the B minus analogy. Like, I think playing so competitively my whole life has made me a very competitive person. So even things that I do outside of baseball, you know, I know no one can be perfect, but I expect a lot of myself, and I expect basically to be perfect. You know, I know that's not a good thing to do, but, you know, so I think that competitiveness kind of translated in that way, that I do have high expectations. So I'm very passionate about everything I do. I don't really just do something just to do it. And then I also think for me, I noticed kind of in college where I really started maturing. You know, I know a lot of people deal with kind of maybe what other people think of the insecurity of getting judged or, you know, people thinking about you. I really, once I kind of got around my sophomore year, junior year of college, I really kind of started maturing into, you know, not really caring what outside noise said about me. I really beat to the sound of my own drum. You know, I didn't care what people were going to say. I was going to do what I needed to do. And that really translated into baseball because I did a lot of stuff that, you know, I felt like was always extra of what other people needed to do. And I would get a lot of crap for it. Just like with minor things, as far as, you know, watching my diet and eating healthy. You know, I used to take my Tupperware meals to class and I'd eat them all throughout campus. You know, I'd get a lot of crap for that. Like, hey, let's go get, you know, whatever in between class. Like, God, dude, I brought my lunch. Oh, you can cheat today. Yeah. No, you really can't. You don't understand the process of what I'm actually going through. You know, this is much bigger than just today. It's about the next 30 days of, you know, watching what you eat, blah, 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 blah. You know, so just like minor things like that, I really got to the point where I matured and I really just didn't even care, you know, about outside noise or what other people had to say. You know, and I think for me, you know, that was always something, or has been one of my strengths, just being able to do things under my influence and not really rolling with the crowd. I've always rolled with myself and been different. So I think both of those things have come from playing baseball and some of the values that I've gained along the way.
Right. Yeah, you can always kind of tell who's come from that type of background just from their approach. Even like, for example, if I was doing a university project with a group, you can kind of tell who the more, you know, maybe competitive isn't necessarily the right word, but people who just take their shit seriously and don't accept poor performance from themselves. A question, Curtis, I want to move more into like the next phase I'm very excited to discuss digital marketing, but what would you say to people maybe who didn't grow up with that opportunity in the sense that they didn't play sports much or at all or competitively, and they didn't grow up with that type of experience or environment? Is there any recommendations you have to them to maybe try and foster those same types of what I would think are pretty beneficial, you know, life lessons and attributes?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, you know, because I feel like so many came from playing sports, but I think my only advice would be maybe find a mentor and find someone that you could kind of latch on to that can really kind of pass along the same knowledge or same terms as far as how to view yourself or other things that way. Because I think that's what it is. It's all about a perception of how you see things. You know, like I said, that perception of expecting a lot and, you know, kind of always doing things with a passion. I feel like that's a perception of how you see that. So if you could just get a mentor and you know, someone that is essentially doing what you strive to do. I don't want to say successful, because successful is thrown out there so broadly that there's no real, you know, true definition of it. People think that success is money or success is happiness, but, you know, like, find someone that is doing what you strive to be ultimately doing and kind of latch onto them and, you know, soak up whatever knowledge you can from them and try to replicate the same mannerisms and attitude that they have. I'd also say read books. I think reading books, you can get so much value from other people just from reading books. And now, you know, in this new age we're in, listen to podcasts. Doing all those things where you're absorbing knowledge from other people's experiences, I think that can really kind of mold you in the same way that sports can. And also, I think taking time for yourself. I think that's one thing that our society kind of has a problem with, is people don't know how to be alone and enjoy their own company. I think that's one of the most beneficial things you can do, is just taking a couple hours a day and just being by yourself, being in your own thoughts, being in your own evaluation. You know, like for me, that the time I go to the gym is my time to be by myself, be in my own thoughts, you know, and not worry about anything. And that's one of the other things, you know, jumping back to like the eat healthy thing, you know, I'd have guys like say, well, let's go work out together. Well, no, like I don't want to work out together, because for me, that is my time I take to myself, you know, to kind of just reboot everything. So, you know, if that's something that you can do, find a gym and work out and take that time to yourself, or whatever hobby it may be, find time to be alone and get comfortable being alone. I think those would be, you know, my only advice to kind of get that same knowledge and same values, just finding a mentor, reading books, podcasting, and then enjoy your own company.
Man, that's just great life advice is what I would say. Really good answer there. Really cool, Carson. So let's move on. You go through high school and college. You have these really successful athletic careers, baseball careers. And then what happens when school ends? Like, because I don't even really know what this process is like. Do you get drafted? Do you go to tryouts? Did you have time off? Did you work, you know, a 9-to-5 in the meantime? What's the next stage here?
That was kind of a crazy story. So originally my freshman year, I went to junior college right out of high school, and my freshman year I got redshirted. So right off the bat, I was already going to be, you know, a sophomore in the classroom, but a freshman on the baseball field. Fast forward 3 years, I'm at my university, and we had a pitcher on our team that was getting scouted very heavily. And because of that, we always had scouts out of our practice.
What position do you play, by the way?
I play second.
Okay.
And so through that process of this guy, you know, having scouts, scouting him pretty heavily and being out there at practice, I started gaining my own attention. So going into my junior year, I was actually on our conferences, pre-drafts, preview or pre-draft report, whatever you want to call it, like, you know, the article they release before the season. So, you know, I was kind of going into the season thinking, well, you know, if I just play well, the team has success, this could be the year that everything kind of comes together. And the season started off that way. You know, through the first 5 games, I ended up being conference player of the week. And then we went down to South Texas and we were playing University of Texas at Rio Grande Valley. It was a Friday night game. It was like the third inning and I was playing right field. Actually, this year I was playing right field. The coach had moved me to the outfield to kind of help with configuration of how he was doing the roster. The guys needed to play. And so it's the third inning. They hit a pop fly, shallow pop fly to me. I'm kind of running in. Second baseman's running out. And we ended up colliding. I tear my MCL. And partially tear my ACL, damaged my ACL. So, you know, I ended up being on crutches for like 3 months, missed the whole season. So that kind of crushed the dreams of getting drafted. Because, you know, that was the year that I thought was going to happen. And obviously being hurt wasn't going to allow it to happen. So the next year, you know, I ended up going back to school that next year, but now I was a double red shirt. So I was a senior in the classroom and still a junior on the baseball field. So, you know, after that season ended, this is 2017, you know, I ended up graduating, getting my degree in kinesiology. It kind of, you know, we ended up going to the conference tournament, which that's all after graduation and everything. So we went to the conference tournament. We ended up losing in the semifinals. Get back home, and I kind of had already made my mind up that I didn't want to go back to school if that wasn't what I had to do. But I didn't really know what opportunities were going to be ahead of me. But I'd already kind of just decided that, you know, I'm already 23, 24. I don't want to be that old and still playing college baseball. And then also trying to figure out something else to study. I was so over school at that point. And, right. You know, I wanted to take the next step and really get into professional baseball because, you know, in this game, the younger you are, the more chances you have. The older you get, you know, time really catches up to you. So that was kind of where my mind was at. And so I had enough time that my parents and my grandparents, we went to Vegas for a graduation, you know, trip or whatever. This was my first time going to Vegas. And so this all happens like the week after our conference tournament when we had got back home. So we go to Vegas for a few days, get home, and the coach from Monterey, California calls me, tells me they have an opening if I'd like to come out and play. You know, I said, hell yeah. And, you know, this was my foot in the door. Right. So, you know, he said, hey, can you get here on Tuesday? I was like, yes. This happened, the phone call was on a Friday, and I ended up leaving that Sunday, drove all the way to California, and got there at 4 o'clock right before the game started. So that was kind of the whirlwind of how it all happened. It all happened pretty quickly. But, you know, I'm grateful that that's kind of the path that it's taken. For some reason, I've always been the guy that likes to take the longer path than everybody else. And right. I've kind of embraced it. It's fine with me. It's just part of the story.
Right. And is that the same team that you're on today?
No, it's not. This year I'm actually going to be on a different team. I can't say what team it will be yet. I know the team, but the contract stuff is not
right.
Been settled yet. The contract and like there's some roster rules that still have to be figured out. So I will know, or I will be able to officially say who it is in the next 2 weeks. But I can't say anything yet. But yeah, this is it'll be a different team that I was with originally.
Right. And can you talk maybe like a few things that stand out about being a professional athlete, right? I mean, I'm sure part of it just feels like it's the same old for you because you've just been playing baseball at the highest level for your whole life. But what is it like doing it as your job? Or what are one or two things that maybe people like us who have never done it as a professional wouldn't know or haven't experienced?
I think, you know, just for me, there's a lot of guys that, you know, they play professional baseball and then they have trouble like making that transition from college or high school, whatever it is. But they call it the grind, right. You know, cause you have all the bus trips, just basically consuming yourself with baseball 24/7. You know, the workouts you have to do, being at the field early and playing the games, being away from family, like all those things. You know, so they call it the grind, how hard the grind is. And I had someone ask me after this past season, well, you know, what do you think about the grind? Like, what was your transition? And I said, you know, and this is still how I feel, but for me, there was never that transition where it was like, oh man, like it's the grind. Like I don't want to play today or whatever. Like for me, it's easier to play professional baseball than it is to play in college. Because in college, you know, you have practices, you have the class, you have early work, you have early weight sessions in the morning, on top of bus trips. And then, you know, if you perform bad, then you have, you know, the coach wants to punish everybody by running, or, you know, whatever, you know, practice is going to be harder that day or whatever it is. And so that kind of stuff really just got old. I hated doing it. I hate doing anything that is not productive to what's going to happen on the field, you know, any kind of extracurricular stuff. And also, you know, college, just you kind of suffer from other people's actions. You suffer their consequences, which really sucks.
Right.
So, you know, for me, the transition to professional baseball was easy, because now it's just wake up, go work out, go to the field, play a game, do it all over again. I've enjoyed doing that, but I think, you know, something that people kind of on the outside maybe don't think about or don't have the perspective of is your job's essentially on the line every night. You know, your performance dictates how long you have a job, essentially. And what sucks about the industry is that even sometimes if you are doing good, you could still, I mean, I'll say get fired, but, you know, you could get released, get fired, just because maybe, you know, politics, or they're picking up a guy that maybe has a better resume than you. You know, maybe he's been to higher levels, or has, you know, maybe he's a little bit older, has a longer resume, just various things can cause you, you know, to essentially lose your job. And so that's kind of what sucks, is that it can end at any point, especially if you're not performing well. But I mean, other than that, I mean, for me, I still look at it as just a game, you know.
Right.
I'm just another guy that's playing the game. And to me, it's all it is I'd say nicer stadiums and bright lights, people actually coming to pay to watch me play. But other than that, I mean, it's still the same game.
Right. Still the same distance from the mound to the plate between the base paths. Man,
exactly.
I could talk about this for hours, especially, you know, just with the baseball connection. But let's shift a little bit into the entrepreneurial mindset, digital marketing type stuff. So for those who don't know, you have a pretty awesome Instagram page. It's Carson Lee 5 on Instagram. We'll have links to that in the description. And you have over 24,000 Instagram followers. Can you talk about where Instagram started, or where it kind of came into your life? And are there any, because I only know you on that medium, if there are other mediums where I should be following you as well?
This is one of those things I said, like, people like to give me crap. My teammates always give me crap about being Insta famous, and, hey man, put me on your Instagram, give me a shout out, you know, whatever. But for me, the whole Instagram, I mean, I've had Instagram since it came out. I think I was a senior in high school when it came out. I never really understood really how to fully utilize it. I really wish when I was a freshman in college, you know, when I got redshirted, a lot of the things I was doing when I was redshirted, all the time I had on my hands, I really wish I would have documented that and pursued what I'm pursuing now on Instagram. But for me, I think it started the year I got hurt my junior year. You know, Instagram had already kind of taken off a little bit. There was a lot of people that were Instagram famous, Insta famous, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were building their own businesses and really monetizing Instagram. So for me, that's kind of where that started. It was that year, my junior year, when I got hurt. And my Instagram already had about 5,000, 6,000 followers on it, but it was private at the time. So when I got hurt, and, you know, I had all this free time on my hands, and I was like, well, I might as well try to, you know, have something to do. I'm going to try to blow my Instagram up. So I did a lot of research on how the algorithms work and just how to get engagement. onto your page and how to just really start getting it out there for people to follow. I used to also post a lot more than I do now. I've deleted a lot of my pictures from back then just because I'd post nonsense. But for that, you know, six month period, I really started just kind of, you know, I had all that time, free time that I would just start doing different strategies to blow my Instagram up, whether it be using the insane amount of hashtags that are just all stupid and irrelevant. I'd also take time at night and I'd go and like a bunch of people's pictures, like comment on a bunch of people's pictures. And I'm talking about like random people. So, you know, I'm putting my account out there to other people. And I just kept doing that. And then I kept doing it after I got hurt, but not at the same level I was when I was hurt, because obviously now I was resuming back a normal life. But I still kept doing it, still kept pushing it. And just over time, it kind of started, you know, gaining followers, gaining traction. And then, you know, I got in touch with one of my buddies who he was playing professional baseball. And he had an engagement group that he was in. So I jumped in to the engagement group with that. That's helped a little bit where, you know, you post something and those guys will comment back on your post and you go comment on their post. See, these are all things that just the way the algorithm works. Because, you know, everyone thinks that your Instagram, like, I guess, getting sponsored or Insta famous or whatever is depending on the amount of likes or followers you have. But actually people look at the amount of engagement you have on your posts.
Right.
And so that's what, you know, the engagement groups were beneficial for. So, you know, I jumped into that with him, you know, and that's helped. I honestly haven't really posted enough lately to really be in the group. But yeah, just those marketing techniques, like I said, just doing research and really kind of committing myself to doing Instagram. And now it's become, it's essentially a full-time job. I mean,
right.
It's trying to find something to post, if not every day, but, you know, at least a few times a week, and then staying consistent with posting stories, and then replying to messages and just being able to give back feedback and information to people that are seeking it, because essentially that's why they're following you.
Right. I want to go into some of the details on some of those strategies and tactics, but first I'm curious, what was the like deeper motivation behind it, right? You kind of talked about, you know, wanting to get Insta famous and obviously there's benefits to that, but why did you decide, like, why did you pick Instagram and do you have sort of an end goal with it?
Well, I think for me, I picked Instagram just because I was on Instagram so much. I'm not a Twitter person. I had a Twitter a long time ago, but I got to the point where I realized I was never tweeting and I was just retweeting stuff. So I was like, well, what's the point of this? You know, so I ended up deleting my Twitter. You know, I never had Vine. I wasn't a Vine person. I didn't have YouTube until recently. So, like, Instagram was my main platform, and I followed so many people in the fitness realm that I saw them doing it, and so that was kind of the leading motivational factor. I was like, well, you know, they're monetizing Instagram through being personal trainers. That was my original goal. Mm-hmm. Was that, you know, because I'm big into fitness. You know, I graduated a degree in kinesiology. And so I really wanted to do the online personal training thing. And that was kind of the direction I was heading. I wanted to get it big enough that I could start my own online personal training business. And then it was just one of those things. I never really pursued it. You know, even after Instagram kind of started getting bigger, I never really sat down and put together a game plan to get this done.
Right. Do you think that was a backup plan? Do you think you were maybe like, well, if this baseball thing doesn't work out, you could fall back on that?
No, I mean, it was just more of just kind of a hobby at the time. I think,
right.
You know, for me, my mind is always going 100 miles an hour. So I'm always thinking about
right.
different you know, avenues of just things to do to keep myself busy. And, you know, I'm not really scared of failure. I know failure is a part of life, and it's a very essential part of life to continue growing. So for me, like, if I'm going to do something, I won't even take the time to really put everything in place or, you know, like, kind of put it off. Like, I'll jump right into it. So, you know, but, you know, kind of jump back to the personal training thing. That was one thing I really put off for a long time. That was, you know, my goal of blowing up the Instagram. And, right. You know, once Instagram kind of started hitting a certain point and, you know, I started getting busier with baseball. Like I said, I never put together the kind of blueprint for it. I kind of just wrote out Instagram for what it was. You know, I had my followers start going up. I started putting out baseball content. You know, for me, like you said, it's fun, and I have pictures of all my buddies. That's the other thing, is I've kind of kept it more of a lifestyle page. Like, you know, I have hanging out with friends, baseball stuff on there. I have gym stuff. So it's kind of a mix of everything.
Right.
But, you know, and then it just hit a point then or now where it's like, okay, I realized that I actually have this opportunity with a social media platform. Now I want to monetize it. But I also want to give back value through it too, as well.
For sure. It's a careful balance. Before I get into a little bit of the monetizing side, Carson, I'm wondering if you could talk about, you briefly mentioned, I think it was two answers ago, that it was, you got up to 5,000 followers. I think it was in the middle of university. That, and you just said it so casually, but for those of us who don't have that many followers, how did you get even to the 5K mark? And maybe another way of asking this is, what would you advise people who aren't there yet and how they could get to that mark?
Well, I think for me, that was more of just people, like being connected with people I knew. You know, because I ended up going to three different universities. Because after my, you know, I said I redshirted at my original junior college, and then I ended up, after I redshirted there, I ended up transferring to another junior college. And then from there, that's when I ended up at my university. So I went to three schools. I went to two different high schools also. So I think just from a mix of those people, having five schools worth of people, also having people through the baseball realm, and then also just kind of connecting with people on Instagram, that kind of led to me to have kind of a pretty big following at first. And right. I know that doesn't make up 5,000 people. There's some holes in there somewhere. But, you know, that's kind of where how it started, was just from being connected with a lot of friends and then, you know, filling in those holes with just random accounts that, you know, obviously, you know, you see someone, oh, hey, I want to follow you, and they follow you back. Right. Kind of thing. And I think for people that aren't there, I think it's just the biggest thing with it is consistency. I've had friends ask me that too, you know, well, how do I blow up my Instagram? Okay, well, do this, and they do it for, you know, a week or two, and they're like, oh, well, this is too much trouble. I don't want to do this.
Right.
But I think, you know, just staying consistent with it. Like I said, studying the algorithms and how they work. Because they're always changing as far as, you know, best times to post and your stories or the amount of length of comments that you're getting, commenting back to people, like those different things all kind of play into the way the algorithm works.
Right.
And then just liking and commenting back on other people, engaging with people that, you know, you do follow. And because all those things will show your Instagram as being active, you know, like within the server, I guess is how it works. So then that's how then, you know, your page pops up on people you may know or the Discover page,
right.
And sort of certain ways that way. But it's one of those things, you have to stay consistent with it and do it every day. And then I'd also say just finding similar accounts and connecting with them, following them, you know, making connections and also getting in an engagement group, you know, like I said, that will drive comments and likes to your page. And, you know, the more engagement you get within, I think it's like the first 30 minutes of your post being posted, then that is what allows your post to be the first one on the news feed whenever someone opens up their phone and opens Instagram. That's how, you know, the server allows that to be the first thing that they see, which again, you know, they don't have to scroll. So it may lead to more engagement.
Right. Yeah. That makes a ton of sense. And the consistency, we're back where we started, right? You're the type of guy who was consistent with his diet, consistent with his workout routine. So it's definitely no surprise that you've been able to transition that well to Instagram. Carson, I have one more question. I definitely want to respect your time, although we could go on for a while here. What can you give two or three tips in terms of your approach to creating content? Because I know you mentioned briefly kind of your approach, which has to do with, you know, documenting a lot of what's going on, which I try to do as well. But do you have any tips for people who love your approach, like your content, and are, you know, trying to take a similar strategy?
Well, I think for me, I want to jump back. We can go as long as you want. You know, like I said, I have questions. It's okay. But I think for me, I kind of understood that once I had the opportunity to play professional baseball, it gave me a platform. And I really, you know, because I think growing up, I always thought that the end goal, the end purpose was the major leagues, which, you know, it still is. That's still the goal. That's still the driving factor. But what I realized once I had the opportunity to play professional baseball was that people didn't care that I wasn't in the major leagues. They didn't care where I was playing or who I was playing with. All they heard was the title professional baseball, and they thought that was something special themselves. You know, kids thought that was the coolest thing ever. And so I kind of realized along that journey that it's not about, as much as it is about MLB, but it's not about it at the same time, because the title doesn't define me, but the way, you know, other people are kind of see me under that title kind of gave me that platform. So for me, you know, with my Instagram, it was, I think my goal kind of now has shifted to, I want to really just show and provide the life that we go through. And that's kind of one of the things that coming into this next year, that is what I'm really trying to document. You know, a lot of people see what goes on TV. They see all the glorious things, but they don't actually see kind of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and, you know, the bus trips or being up late or getting to the field, you know, at 2 or 3 o'clock, you know, even just, you know, like I have a lot of kids like ask me like, well, what kind of gear do you wear? Like what's your favorite brand or batting gloves or bat, like all that kind of stuff. So kind of documenting those things. You know, that was the motivation behind starting my YouTube channel, was to kind of provide a visual journey just of everything. The successes, the adversity, and just trying to document as much of it as possible and kind of just give behind the curtain feedback into what really goes on. And then, you know, I also try to strive for motivation, just being one of those accounts or people or a person that people can look up to, you know, that they can turn to my page and say, well, he's doing something, so that means I can do it too. I think that really has become such a bigger purpose than anything, is just the messages I get that say, you know, well, you know, thank you for everything you post. Like you provide me with something that's motivating me to do this. Or, you know, I had a bad day at baseball yesterday and I saw your page and it completely flipped my mindset. Like just stuff like that, I think, for me. So to also kind of stay positive and provide motivation and inspiration to people, because I think that's something that this world is lacking. There's so much negativity going around, so just trying to be a positive page, but then also kind of just trying to listen to as much feedback as well too. So trying to kind of post around, like I said, the messages I get, Or if someone has a question, trying to maybe to post something around that and cover that. You know, like I said, I don't really post as much as I originally used to when I first kind of started pursuing to blow Instagram up.
Right.
You know, it's a full-time job to try to figure out something to post every day. So I strive to try to post 2 or 3 times a week at least. I'm hoping once baseball gets here and it allows me with, you know, that much more baseball content, but also just being around guys that can film or video or take pictures for me, that will help get back into a better routine. But, you know, I try to stay active on my story and kind of really posting stuff there, just so I can kind of keep – I'm really OCD. So, for me, I've tried to keep my feed or, you know, I guess that's what it's called, the feed with all the posts. I like to keep it very aesthetic and pleasing to the eye. I hate a bunch of, like, random stuff that doesn't really fit.
Right.
So I think that's kind of why I get away from posting as much as I should. Is I get very OCD, and it'll bother me if my feed doesn't look aesthetically pleasing. But yeah, so that's kind of the center point of my Instagram and you know, where it's at and what I want to do with it, or the motivating factor behind it.
Awesome. That's really great stuff. And as someone who's been following, you definitely practice what you preach. Carson, really appreciate you coming on the show again. Where can people find you? Obviously, Instagram, feel free to remind them of what the account is, your YouTube, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so actually I have quite a few social media outlets, but I have the Instagram, like we mentioned, CarsonLee5 is the handle. I also have a Facebook athlete page, which on there, all I really do is kind of, it's more for my family, to kind of keep the family that's not on Instagram, kind of keep them connected. But it's an athlete page. So if you just go on there and you click the like button, you'll get all the updates. But what I do on there is I pretty much just blog, you know, kind of all my travels and the experiences that are going on, kind of put it in a word format.
Right.
That's I post on there, you know, every few weeks, just kind of a recap of what's going on. But I also have the YouTube page. If you just search Carson Lee, I think I'm one of the first ones that will pop up. So I have the YouTube channel. If you have trouble finding the link, it is on, I think it's on my Instagram.
Well, I'll definitely throw it in the description to the podcast. So,
okay.
We'll make it easy for everyone.
I appreciate that. And then the last thing I have is I actually started my own podcast, a baseball podcast. Once again, trying to be informative, interviewing guys that, you know, I played with and kind of telling their stories. And like I said, you know, kind of showing the non-glorious side and, you know, the adversity that you really have to go through to get to the end goal or the end destination, or just to get further along the journey, the failures that, you know, come with it, and how all those factors factor into being successful, you know, and getting to where you want to be. So I also have the podcast. It's called Down in the Dirt Podcast. It's on 4 different platforms: SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple, and I also post the podcast on my YouTube page as a video podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, those are the 4 that you can keep up with me on.
That sounds like a lot, man. That's
it's
awesome
a lot to manage.
That you're able to put out that much great content. But Carson, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to continuing to watch the content that's coming out.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate you having me on so much. Just truly enjoyed chatting with you.
Awesome. We'll talk soon. Hey everyone, Josh checking in. Just one more time, wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my
thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign-up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.